years and developed and implemented state-based surveillance systems for work-related illnesses and injuries. She also, until recently, served as co-lead of the CSTE Occupational Injuries Subcommittee. Tish?
So how do I do this? Oh, I'm up. Great.
Yeah, you're up.
Yes. Great. So hi, everyone. It's really, as always, wonderful to see everyone. It's the only place in the world I can really talk about what I do and people know what I'm talking about. So that's always gratifying. So I'm going to talk today about our work looking at asthma prevalence in home care workers in Massachusetts using the BRFSS. And I need to acknowledge that this is the work of Kathleen Fitzsimmons, who was supposed to be here, but she couldn't make it. So I'm presenting her work. So I'm hoping the BRFS people don't ask me any questions about waiting. That's what I have to say. And I need to acknowledge Elise Pector on our asthma project, and also Maria McKenna, who is our BRFS coordinator and has been an incredible champion of using the occupational injury and illness data in our BRFSS. And then, of course, NIOSH that funds our work. So let me first talk a little bit about defining what we call home care aides. There's really two different occupations, and these are actually SOC group occupations, the standard occupational classifications. It's home health aides and personal care aides. So those are the two groups that we and many researchers define as home care aides. And they're, both of these occupations are among the fastest growing occupations in the United States. They anticipate they'll be over, and largely due to the increase in the age, you know, older population, they anticipate that there's going to be over 800,000 new jobs in these two occupations by the year 2024. And as you see in the slide there, they're increasing faster than all other occupations on average. So it's a huge population that we need to be concerned about. In Massachusetts today, we have 48,000 home care aides. They're predominantly female. And you can see here in Massachusetts, they're 17% Hispanic and 16% black. And in our workforce as a whole, it's 7% Hispanic and 6% black. So we have a disproportionate concentration of minority workers in the home care occupations. Probably no surprise to anyone, but the statistics are pretty dramatic. The average annual income in Massachusetts is $26,000, which equates to about $12.72 an hour. We just had legislation passed raising that to $15 an hour. This is, in fact, higher than the average annual salary for home care nationwide, which is $17,000. And it's about half or less than half of the average annual income of all workers in Massachusetts. So clearly we have a huge low-wage minority population working in one of our kind of most precious occupations, which is taking care of our sick and our elderly. So what are their job tasks? A variety of job tasks involve providing services to their clients, which are largely older adults and persons with illness or disabilities. They assist with the activities of daily living, bathing, dressing, meal prep, cleaning. They can do some health-related tasks. The home health care aides can do some health-related tasks, such as checking vital signs, monitoring meds, they're not really supposed to administer meds, and changes in health status, and they do that under the supervision of a registered healthcare provider. So that's what they do. And they're exposed to a wide variety of hazards in the course of doing their work, and a number of these are respiratory hazards. Margaret Quinn, our colleague at UMass Lowell, has just completed and published a study on doing a survey of over 1,200 home care aides and collecting information on over 3,400 visits. And this is what they found with respect to respiratory hazards. You can see the numbers here, which is, you know, there's cluttered, unclean conditions, there's patients who smoke, there's uncontrolled pets, there's pet waste, but I think the most notable thing in this is that 80% of the visits involve cleaning kitchens and bathrooms, 24% involved use of bleach, which is a known asthma-causing agent, and you see a use of other chemicals like ammonia and strong cleaning chemicals. So cleaning is really an integral part of this job, and we know from other work in our asthma surveillance that cleaning is an issue with respect to asthma, and both cause and aggravation of asthma. So we had some simple questions. In this particular analysis, we wanted to know what was the prevalence of current asthma among home care aides in Massachusetts, and was it higher than what we were seeing in other workers? And here's our methods. We used the BRFS data from 4 years, 2011 to 2014. I'm not going to go through this whole slide because I think everyone in this room is familiar with the survey. You should just note that we'd had both landline and cell phone in all years. We, in Massachusetts, we administer the survey in three languages, English, Spanish, and Portuguese every year, and we have worked closely with our BRFS coordinator to train the surveyors in how to ask questions on occupation and industry, including, you know, prompts, what kind of answers are acceptable and not. So that's what we've done. And for the first, in 2011, 2012, it was the state ad, industry and occupation were the state added questions, and in 2013 and 14, we were implementing the NIOSH optional model. I think in this room know that the IO questions are asked of respondents who are employed for wages, self-employed, or out of work for less than 1 year. It's an open-ended narrative text collection, and we did interviewer training, as I said. And the data are coded for us, thankfully, by NIOSH, using NIACS, which they have automated coding with computer-assisted coding of the residuals. And that's incredible, incredibly valuable work, so I want to thank you for doing that. I think this is interesting, and it kind of exemplifies some of the complexities of how you actually use the data. And, you know, we're getting IO data for all our partners to use, but we find it complicated to figure out how to use both industry and occupation. And it turns out that NIACS codes to the Bureau of Census. And for Bureau of Census, we're looking at two occupations. We want the home health aides, and we want the personal care aides. There's a census code for personal care aides, so we can pull them out. But the census code that encompasses home health aides also includes nursing and psychiatric aides who are in hospitals. So the way you get at home care, you have to use both industry and occupation using census codes to get to the home care aides that we're interested in. And it's just an example. And almost any occupation you look at, when you go to look, you know, really focus on an occupation, you come up with these kinds of technical questions that only people who are really familiar with the coding system, you know how to do. So I think it's incumbent on us in our community to really start kind of synthesizing these lessons and communicating them if we expect other people to use these data, because it's complicated. That's what we did. And, you know, our definition of current asthma was the standard BRFS definition, which is yes to these two questions. You can read, have you ever been told you've had asthma by a healthcare provider? Do you still have asthma? And we used the computer, the prevalence, using weighted percentages, 95% confidential. And we used SAS to get there. And here are our results. These are unweighted numbers here, which are total BS. We've had until it's been cut back substantially in the last 2 years. We had a good size BRFS sample, so we had 72,000 over the 4 years overall. About 55% of those were employed. We were able to get, I think these are great statistics, they're like yours, I think they're close, that we were able to get industry and occupation information on 88% of those who were employed, and of those we were able to code 94%, and that's thanks to NIOSH. So, I mean, I think those are great statistics in terms of demonstrating feasibility of doing what we're trying to do here. And of those, of the 32,000, we had 368 home care aides, and we grouped all the remaining workers into all other for this analysis. So here we look at kind of comparing the characteristics of our home care aides to all other workers. They were predominantly female. They were more likely to be somewhat older, which is interesting. The home care population is older. They were more likely to be Hispanic than other workers. They were more likely to have high school or less education, and they were more likely to be current smokers. So that's our descriptive statistics. And then here are our results. So our home care aides, their prevalence was double that compared to all other workers. One in five home care workers reported current asthma, compared to 1 in 10 in the other worker groups. But we know that home care aides are more likely to be women, they're more likely to be smokers, so we need to do a stratified analysis to look to see whether these other factors were contributing. So we did multivariate, but we're presenting stratified analysis because we find in talking to the public and summarizing our data, it's often clearer to present stratified results than try to explain how we do our multivariate work. So here what you see is that even within female, the female group, home care aides had a significantly higher prevalence of asthma compared to other workers. It changed a little bit. The difference was a little bit less. We couldn't present the data for males because the number of male home care aides was insufficient. Here we look at it by age, and you see the pattern is similar across age, although it wasn't statistically significant in the younger group. But remember, we had more people in the older age groups. We looked at it by race and ethnicity, and we couldn't separate out Hispanic and black because the numbers were too small. But you can see that the pattern retains in both groups, although it's not significant in the all other race group. But even in white workers, it's significantly elevated among, the prevalence is elevated among home care aides. And this one, we don't know what to make of, and I would really welcome your thoughts about this, is that we didn't see the pattern in the less than the less educated. We saw it in the those who had more advanced education, which is unusual because you usually see higher prevalence in kind of lower educated. So this we don't know what to make of. It may be something, you know, I was thinking, actually looking at this last night, we should break out the home health aides because there's some notion that healthcare, anyone in the healthcare system has somewhat more like potentially likelihood of being diagnosed. I don't know. So I really would welcome thoughts on this. We're trying to figure out what to make of it. And then this is what we found when we looked at it by smokers, and we see the pattern holds in the non-current smokers. Not that previous smoking may be an issue, but anyway. Asthma was our primary concern, but our infectious disease folks were interested in also looking at influenza vaccination. You see here that only 41% of home care aides had vaccinations, and comparable to workers at large. And CDC specifically recommends, one, that people with asthma get vaccinations, and two, anyone in the healthcare system and anyone who's a care provider for someone who's vulnerable to the flu be vaccinated. So these are very low vaccination rates given what we you know, the optimal. So our conclusions, I think people are familiar with the limitations, so I took that slide out trying to get through this. But asthma prevalence is high among home health care aides. We don't know if this is work-related. We clearly need to look and see what we can get out of our asthma callback survey on this. But I think the argument is that whether it's work-related or not, we need to address the risk in the home, and that there's potential to protect not only the workers themselves, but the patients in the home. So I think there's some impetus to address cleaning products in the home environment, as well as pest and other things. And then we obviously need further research to understand the contribution of workplace exposure specifically to this. Second big conclusion, which our infectious disease folks are working with us on, is that flu vaccination coverage is not sufficient. We need to really try to understand the barriers to this. And then the last thing is, I think many of you know that in Massachusetts we also do case-based surveillance of work-related asthma, and we have very few cases coming in from home health care. So I think this argues for the value of BRFSS as a critical complement to our case-based surveillance, and it's interesting for us to try to think of why we're not seeing the home care workers in our case-based surveillance, sentinel surveillance. We have disseminated, we did an occupational lung bulletin on this that goes out to 2,000 healthcare providers in Massachusetts. We did a blog, it's in the NIOSH e-news. We presented this data last week at, there was a global care work summit in Massachusetts at UMass Lowell, so we presented that, and we're working to try to get this out to the industry as well. There's a couple of really important resources I think you should know about, which we are disseminating with these materials. NIOSH has some terrific educational materials on home healthcare workers, how to protect themselves, that they develop with, I'm looking at Barbara because the LOHP was very involved in developing these materials. And I have 1 minute, and the other one is UMass Lowell, that has this bigger home care project, and as part of that home care project, they developed curriculum for training home care aides about cleaning, safe cleaning for patients, which protects themselves as well. So there's is ongoing work to try to figure out how to get, especially work around cleaning in the home, to the home care community in Massachusetts. So thank you very much. Yeah. You know, that's in the report. That's in Margaret Quinn's. I think it's a combination, but it's mostly what's in the home. I think that's what it is. But it's in Margaret Quinn's paper. Yeah.
Did you look at Because I know in BRFSS they have that question.
We have, that's in our chart book, but you know, we're pretty well insured in Massachusetts because our health care reform started earlier. It's probably a little bit lower with lower income. That's a good question. I'll get an answer to that. I don't remember. Yeah, Ken.
So if you looked at Eversmoke, is that sort of...
Yeah, you know, I don't know why, I don't know why it isn't in there. I'll ask Kathleen to look at that. That's, might be... I don't know. I think it wasn't. I noticed that as well. Yeah.
And during your presentation, I was reminded of some research I saw in 2006 or so, looking at asthma risk among kids, and they found that there was an interaction between exposure to air pollution and exposure to violence in the home.
Interesting.
The idea was that stress exacerbated the effect, and recognizing that violence is something that home health aides might also be exposed to.
Not on this, but Margaret Quinn's paper was, they have information on all kinds of hazards in the home care environment. Violence is one, I know that for sure, but I don't know if they've made the correlation. I'd have to look at that. But that's a good point. It's interesting.
So is this report going to be in the clearinghouse?
Yeah, we put it on your website yesterday, and it's,
Okay.
Or, I mean, last week we put it in on the website, so... That's, but I do. I just want to put a. You know, this is an incredibly fast-growing occupation of low-wage, vulnerable workers. There's a lot of government agencies involved. Our attorney general's involved in home care. Our elder, you know, the Office of Elder Affairs, the Office of Consumer Affairs, because it's complicated because the employers are also individuals. So, I actually think as a community, it's something we ought to be focusing on in multiple ways.
I think in BLS. Looking at the fastest growing sector, this is. If you look at the BLS statistics.
Thank you very much.